Will you turn today to John chapter 8, and I want to read one verse today. And this verse that I'm about to read, I think certainly ties in just right to the T with this time of the year as we think of this time of the year. John chapter 8, verse number 36. The Bible says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I know a lot of times when it comes to the matter of preaching and teaching, we like to take an entire chapter and we like to basically just go through an entire portion. But sometimes it's important, for the sake of emphasis, to just perhaps look at one verse, because I want to pull the truth just from this one verse here this morning. We think of freedom this time of the year. The 4th of July, what do? We celebrate freedom. So freedom is upon our mind, upon our hearts. And I'm thinking today that this verse of Scripture here really spells it out when it comes to the matter of what constitutes real freedom. And I'll tell you something, I like how it says free indeed, don't you? Not only free, but free indeed. Let's have prayer. Our Father, this morning, as we come to you in prayer, we're glad for the service that we've already enjoyed. We thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to not only read a verse that talks about freedom, but to know that freedom ourselves because of salvation. Dear Lord, today help me now as I stand here and try to preach. I just pray that you'll meet needs today in human hearts. There could be someone here this morning that does not have that freedom indeed. Lord, I pray that they'll have it before the service is over. Now, Lord, I just pray for all of the requests. I think of the different hosts of prayer requests this morning. And our Father, you know every need and every burden. And I pray that you would bless. Lord, give us a good service now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My message title is simply this: Free Indeed. Free Indeed. Looking at the verse, the Bible says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." I don't know why, but I had this verse on my mind throughout this week. Well, I know why. I know why, because God wanted me to preach it. But at the same time, it's amazing how, from time to time, the Lord does lay a particular verse on your mind when it comes to a certain topic in a certain time. And that's the case here. This is a time of the year that freedom is upon all of our minds and our hearts, and rightly so. The 4th of July, what do? We attempt to celebrate freedom, don't we? Because we are Americans, there are certain freedoms that we do enjoy because we're Americans. Now, of course, we would probably all agree that a lot of them freedoms are quickly leaving us. But there's a lot of freedoms that we enjoy because we're Americans. We possess certain rights and certain liberties that citizens of other nations do not enjoy. It's sad, but it seems like we're lining up now with a lot of other nations that are restricted in freedoms, because it seems like as time goes on that our freedoms are becoming more restricted as well. But we can assemble today in this place. Thank God I can still open my Bible and preach. We can still have a church service. You can still come and you can worship. You can pick up a hymn book and we can sing together. We can speak our mind on certain issues. Now, I know sometimes it gets us in trouble, but still yet, we do have freedom of speech. We can voice our opinion. We can speak rather freely. We have the right to carry our Bible. We have a right to pray in the name of Jesus. We have a right to have a church service like this. So thank God for the rights that we have as Americans. Thank God for that. But I'm thinking this morning of a truth that we see here in respect to freedom that's a notch higher than national freedom. I see a freedom here that's more important than even being an American. That may sound strange, but guess what? It's true. I'd rather have the freedom of a child of God than even the freedom of being an American. And I think any person that'll think it through, space of God's people, understand the logic behind that. Wouldn't you much rather today be saved and have the freedom of a Christian than to be unsaved with all of the freedoms of America? We're still better off, aren't we, with the freedom of God's people. Now, let me do this morning. Let's look at this thought, free indeed. First of all, could I say, when the Bible says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed, this verse to me is a classic verse on the matter of how a person has this priceless freedom that I'm talking about. The freedom is possible, first of all, if. You see that? If. The freedom is possible if. Because of the taskmaster of sin being conquered, Jesus can forgive all manner of sins. When he died upon the cross, he took care of sin problem. He died in our stead. The taskmaster of sin has been destroyed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when a person flees to him for mercy, then of course they know what it is to have their sins forgiven. Freedom is possible. Did you know today that it's possible to be an American and still not be free in the truest sense? There's many people today that make up the citizenship of this country that can pride themselves on being Americans. But again, I want to say today, we're better off to be a Christian. Now, there's one thing for sure. The name American will not mean a whole lot in eternity, but the name Christian sure will. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. It's possible to be an American, but still not to be free. You know, it's possible to enjoy the rights that are guaranteed to the citizens of this country, but yet still not be free. Christians are free in a greater way. God's people have been liberated from a greater bondage. Now, I know this because I'm like you. I've studied American history a little bit. And I know that when it comes to the freedom of this country, it was with a great price. And I know that our forefathers suffered, and I'm about to give you a few statistics on that in just a few moments. So what we enjoy as citizens of America, let's understand this morning, we're not enjoying what we have at a cheap price. We certainly are not. Jesus here is talking to a group of people that thought they had freedom, but in essence they did not. They were priding themselves with being the children of Abraham. But the Lord made it clear that there's something more important than being of the physical lineage of Abraham. They needed to know, they need to have a connection with Abraham in a spiritual sense. Abraham was a father of faith. And those people there in the Lord's day, they were priding themselves in the fact that they were children of Abraham. All they had was just simply empty words. Because if they were really sons of Abraham, they'd be doing the works of Abraham. In other words, their lifestyle would be matching what they said that they were. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Thank God there's a possibility of freedom in that word, if. The agent of that freedom, look at verse number 32. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is what sets free. Now, you thinking this morning, well, preacher, it looks to me like there's a contradiction because the Son shall make you free, but yet the truth will make you free. Well, guess what? There is no contradiction because the Son of God is the truth as well, isn't he? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when the Bible says that truth will set you free, that's still the same thing as saying the Son sets free, because they have perfect agreement. They really do. So it's still the same thing. The truth is what sets people free. Isn't it a tragic thing today that this world is in the grips of falsehood? Multitudes of people today are locked into some kind of a false system of just simply a religion. But it's not religion that unbounds, it's righteousness in Jesus Christ. It's not working our way to heaven, but it's working our way after God saves us, because He gives us the ability to work. It's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us, you see. We do not work our way to the cross, but thank God we find ourselves working our way from it, because we desire to work. I don't know about you, but after God saved me, for some strange reason, and it's not strange any longer because I know what happened, now I find myself wanting to serve the Lord. That is a miracle. If you'd have known me before I got saved, why, you'd have called me a fool if I'd ever said anything relative to living for God, because it was a divine impossibility. You've got to be set free before you can start working for God. There has to be the impartation of the new birth. You have to be a child of God before you can start working the works of God. But this freedom is sure a wonderful thing. A person can be locked up in prison, but still be a free person in the greatest way as a Christian. Now, you know, and I know, down through the years, there has been a whole lot of people that's been sent to jail because of their faith. They've been imprisoned. They've been incarcerated because of a testimony for Jesus Christ. Back during the Dark Ages, there were many Christians that literally were burned at the stake. They sealed their testimony with their life's blood. They literally were martyred because they dared to speak up for God. They were martyred. But I'll tell you, in their prisons, they were still free. One old martyr called his prison. He was in prison, and he actually, in his testimony, he equated the prison as being basically a cathedral of grace. In other words, he was simply saying, it may be a prison, but I have God in this prison, and I have freedom, and I've been set free. So a person can be in prison, but yet if they're saved, they're still free in the best way. You can't beat freedom indeed. Now, think about it like this. You and I are Americans. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom of press. We have freedom this, that, and other ways. But yet we're not free indeed just by that. I'm stuck to that word indeed. I like a freedom indeed myself. Not just freedom, but freedom indeed. I'd say political freedom could be freedom, but the spiritual freedom is freedom indeed. That's a notch higher, isn't it? We see here that freedom is possible if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Number two, we see that freedom is priceless. Priceless. Free indeed. You say, do you mind expounding on that a little bit? Yes, I will. Priceless. We've been delivered from the wrath of God. Christians are delivered from the wrath of God. Bible says, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Saved from wrath. Well, we can be the best citizen that this country ever produced. I mean, we can be a warrior. We can, in other words, we can be a great inventor. We can be a person that makes America shine. But if we die without God, we're still going to face wrath. I want the kind of freedom that takes care of that sin problem forever. I want the kind of freedom that will do me when I die. I want the kind of freedom that will take care of my soul when I leave this world. That's the kind of freedom I want. That's why I say it's priceless. Because we're saved from the wrath to come. It's priceless also because we've been delivered from condemnation. The Bible says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verse number 1. We've also been delivered from death and hell. Never forget. John 3:16. I know you can quote it, but don't forget the message. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you believe John 3:16? Raise your hand. I knew you would. You realize what we have? We have everlasting life based upon a simple verse that the average school kid in Sunday school has already memorized. But there's enough powerful truth in that one verse to redeem this entire world, if this world will let it. I honestly believe that this morning. I believe John 3:16 could save the entire globe. Because it says it all, doesn't it? Priceless. Priceless freedom. We've been delivered from the power of sin as free people in Christ Jesus. Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's Romans 6 verse 14. Delivered from the dominion of sin. I've got good news for you, Christian. You and me who struggle with sin, who struggle with problems, who struggle with doubts, who struggle with issues in our life, guess what? God has given us deliverance if we will but somehow, some way trust Him. Sin does not have to have dominion over us. When you find a Christian who's being controlled by sin, it's obvious they're not claiming and living in light of that precious truth right there. God didn't save us to throw us in defeat. The grace of God gives us victory. That's freedom I'm talking about. Free indeed. Priceless freedom. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let me keep going here. This freedom is possible if. This freedom is priceless. Free indeed. This freedom is particular. Here it is. If the Son. There it is. If the Son shall make you free. It is particular. I'm talking about a Son-type freedom. I'm talking about freedom through Christ. I'm talking about freedom because of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a particular freedom. It's one thing to have religious freedom, but it's altogether different to have righteous freedom. Now, let's go back to this country. Talk about the country just a little bit here. What about freedom that we enjoy? We probably do need to be reminded from time to time of what this freedom, in a national sense, really cost. For example, and I know that what I'm about to say here now, we've heard it before. But I think 4th of July every year is a good time to kind of go down the trail of history a little bit again. The signers of the Declaration of Independence, do you realize what happened to each one of the people that took their hand and a pencil and signed that Declaration of Independence? Do you realize how costly it was? Would to God the people today that are trying to destroy the Constitution would brief up on history a little bit and understand what was involved when that Constitution was put together. Five of the people that signed were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary War. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or the hardships of the Revolutionary War. What kind of men were they who signed the Declaration of Independence? Well, 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 of them were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners. Men of means, well educated, but nevertheless, they still signed the Declaration of Independence. When they signed it, they knew if they were captured, that they would be executed, because that's the equivalency of being a traitor to the British government. They signed that declaration knowing in advance that their lives were literally in jeopardy, because if they're captured, they're going to be killed. But they did it. Why? They esteemed freedom. They esteemed this government. They esteemed this new world. They esteemed what they were doing to be more powerful and more important than their lives itself. That's why. Some of the men who were involved in that. One man, Carter Braxton, of Virginia. He was a wealthy planter and a trader. He saw his ship sunk later on by the British Navy. He sold his home and properties to pay his debts, and he died in poverty. At the Battle of Yorktown, the British General Cornwallis had taken over Thomas Nelson's home, a man by the name of Thomas Nelson's, for his headquarters. But Nelson, because he loved this country, because he was committed to what was being done, he still ordered General George Washington to destroy his own home, because he was not going to in any way make any accommodation for the British, because he believed that his cause was that important. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside when she was dying. The 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and his mills were destroyed. For over a year, he lived in the forests and the caves. He returned home and he found his wife dead. His children had vanished. And we're told that a week later he died from exhaustion. These were the stories of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence. These people that signed the Declaration of Independence were not wild-eyed, rebel-rousing type people. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. They stood tall, they stood straight, and they unswervingly gave their support for the support of the Declaration. They were willing to put their lives on the line. I've said all that to say this morning, our cost for the freedom of America was not at a cheap price. And may we never forget that. But I'm glad today, by the grace of God, that I can stand here and tell you that though the cost of national freedom was tremendous, I want to say this morning the cost of spiritual freedom is a far greater. Could I point you this morning the site of the greatest battlefield that ever took place? That site is a place called Calvary. That site was a place where the Son of God, the conqueror of heaven and earth, was stretched out between heaven and earth. He died on the cross of Calvary, and I'm sure all of the demons of hell would have desired to frustrate his efforts and to keep him from dying. But oh, thank God, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He said, it's finished. The greatest battle was fought at Calvary. And thank God won at Calvary. Amen. When the greatest warrior of all took care of the greatest foe of all. And that's why I want to say this morning, it's wonderful today to look at the flags and to realize today what that flag represents. But oh, thank God, I'm glad I can look at the cross today. And I can say there is my place of freedom. in the cross work of Jesus Christ. You'll not find a greater verse on freedom, will you? If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. My friend, there's a possibility of freedom if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There's the priceless nature of freedom, free indeed. But this is a freedom that is particular because if the Son, it's through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that freedom? There's a lot going on right now in this country. We know that. And I'm going to tell you, much of what's going on right now breaks our hearts, makes us mad, makes us sad. And we're thinking, all that these forefathers did, they did it in vain, it would seem. But I want to tell you today, it's not in vain. Because let's always remember this. Man's extremity is always God's opportunity. Whenever the worst thing seems to happen, in this past week, and I may say a little bit more about this tonight, there were two landmark jury decisions that would indicate great victory for the devil. First of all, our Constitution was slammed because of the Supreme Court approval of Obamacare. Because Obamacare was slipped in under the cover of darkness, rammed down our throats, and it was done unconstitutionally. So what we had this past week, keep this in mind, but there's a positive in all of it. We had the Constitution slammed by the approval of Obamacare. We had the Bible slammed by the approval of gay marriages. We had one charter, the charter of the land slammed, but we had the greatest charter slammed. But guess what? We could get by with the Constitution being slammed, in a sense, but this nation will definitely not get by when we treat the Word of God that way. If America goes down, it's going to go down because the Bible is slammed quicker than the governmental Constitution. But I'm telling you something. And I have a message for tonight I want to preach along this line. To me, this kind of makes sense, though. And that sounds strange, but I want to explain that this evening. A lot of what happened this week makes sense. And I found a pretty good passage of Scripture that I think will prove that. It's kind of sad in one way, but it's positive in another. Because guess what? I'm convinced as I stand here this morning, the way our country is going down the tube so quick, and sin is raging at such a quick pace, I just believe the Son of God's coming soon. I believe Christ is coming back. I'm telling you, I see sunshine in the clouds. Now there's no way of our knowing how much persecution might come and what may be coming down the pike. But thank God I'm not much concerned about what's coming down the pike as the one that's coming in the clouds. I find more victory in that than what I see coming down the pike. God's people are still on the winning side, and don't you forget it. I mean, the Son of God would have to undo His work at Calvary if it would be any otherwise. What He accomplished was an eternal accomplishment, and the works of the devil and the works of man will not frustrate God's overall purpose. And I'm just going to give you a hint on, I think, the answer. I believe America right now is getting what it deserves. Think that through. We've asked for this. But on the other hand, I believe that the cause of Christ and the cause of righteousness is going to win the battle in the end. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I couldn't imagine living in this mixed up, sinful society right now without having that free indeed. I want that. I see my American freedom slipping away, but I don't see the other one. This free indeed is an eternal thing. History proves that most nations, empires, normally will only make it about 200 years. Read your history books. About 200 years. So, what does that tell us? I think it speaks volumes where we might be now. But I'm glad today to be an old Christian, saved by the grace of God. And I started out coughing and clearing my throat, but I hope you got the message of. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's pray.